Happy Father's Day to all you dads. As a father, I feel like I have the ability, maybe even that I have the obligation to begin this morning with a dad joke. It is Father's Day. So how do you know when a joke becomes a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. I got permission for that, so we're good. Back in 1979, there was a study that was initiated, and that study went from 1979 all the way to 2009. It was a 30-year study. And what they were assessing was Americans, and specifically how Americans have or have not had compassion toward other Americans. So for 30 years, they studied our culture and analyzed how do we deal with compassion. The results of the study were a bit startling. They saw over those 30 years, a 40% drop in the amount of compassion that Americans had toward one another. In 2021, there was a follow-up study that showed an additional 14% decline in our compassion levels toward our fellow countrymen. So you're talking over 40-ish years, over a 50% drop in how we have compassion toward one another. So I read that study and thought, well, that seems odd, but that probably is like something in the distance, someone out there, someone I don't know about. Like, it's not something I would notice in my own life, would I? And I thought about back when I was a college basketball coach. There was a group of guys. We were really good friends. We were all in the business. We got in the business at about the same time. And every spring, there would be a series of firings because that's when things happen. The season ended, and universities would make changes, and coaches would lose jobs. This group of friends, we would always communicate around that time at a high level. We would be sad and disappointed and frustrated at the way in which the universities were dealing with our friends and our colleagues. And it was a thing that we really were shook up about. We really felt bad about. And then I thought, well, that group of friends, we still have a text chain. We've still been communicating, even though that was in the late 90s, early 2000s. We still have a text chain going. And every March and April, that chain picks up. And so I went to that chain yesterday and I looked at it back in March and April. And I realized that we were just like non-emotional. Like so-and-so got fired, no response. So-and-so got let go, no response. And then even at times it was like joked about, like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And I thought, wow, like I participated in that just like the other guys on that chat. And we realized that that's 20, 25 years, and you can see the level of compassion that we had toward our fellow coaches just plummet. So it made me think about the study and like, well, maybe it's kind of legit. Maybe compassion levels in our country have been on the decline. I think at some level, all of us have been exposed to this. Just think back a couple years to COVID, right? Like, I don't know about you, but during COVID, I can see how this played out. There's a principle that psychologists call compassion fade. It says that when the level of need arises, when more and more people have need, the number of people that have compassion begins to drop. It's an inverse relationship. And man, if I think back to COVID, I don't know about you, but I can see that in my own life. Back when you heard the first people that got sick, or maybe it was someone you knew got sick, or the first person that you heard pass from COVID, it was gut-wrenching, it was hard, it felt terrible. And then as time passed and COVID was just a thing and we were locked down and everything was what it was, like your sympathy, your empathy, and your compassion, if it was like mine, just began to drop. And so I feel like it's something that we can relate to. I was thinking about it more. I was thinking about this last fall, presidential election, the whole political circus that is. And I thought, I wonder if there'd be evidence of this compassion drop in our politics. So I started looking at, like, what was the rhetoric? What was the talk that was happening as it relates to compassion around October and November? I hate to tell you, but it was ugly on both sides. I read some reports about Democrats who were literally celebrating the misfortune of Republican, either members of Congress or candidates. And they even said things like, we cannot have sympathy, empathy, or compassion for those Republicans because it opens us up to emotional manipulation. That's what leadership on the Democratic side was saying. On the Republican side, it was every bit as bad or worse. On the Republican side, you have prominent figures around the presidential campaign in October and November repeatedly quoting an evolutionary Darwinist who has been preaching in Canada for years that the fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy and compassion. Prominent Republicans are quoting that man and pointing across the aisle and saying we should not have compassion for those that oppose us. As a nation, we have seen a drop in compassion, and I think there's compelling reason to believe that it's affected all of us in this room and all of us online. So the question is, should that concern us? Should it bother us as believers in Jesus? Should it bother us that there's this rhetoric out there, that there's this influence that's saying compassion is actually a weakness that we need to just snuff out and get rid of? Those are the kinds of questions I want us to wrestle with this morning. The text that I'm going to preach from primarily is Psalm 103. And as I read it right now, what I want you to pay special attention to is the verses that speak to compassion and then the verses that follow verses that speak to compassion and how that interplay plays out. Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed, and he remembers that we are dust. Three verses highlight compassion in that text. Verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate. It's an element of his character. In the fiber of who God is, he is compassionate. He is a compassionate God. And then verse 13 talks about that the Lord has compassion on us. Not only is his character that he is compassionate, but his compassionate character spills onto us that we receive that compassion. We were people broken and far away from God, and yet he has pursued us. He has brought us near and shown us his compassion. And then in verse 4, it says that God redeems us and he places on us a crown of love and compassion. God's character is he is compassionate. He spills that compassion onto us as his followers, and then he gives to us a crown of compassion to share with the world. As people of God, we would have an objective as we walk through this life, that we would want to be like him, that we would want to mirror his character and his qualities. And one of his qualities is compassion, and he's put that upon us that we then might reflect that to the world and offer compassion to others. Now, before we continue, I want to play a little English with you because there are a couple words around compassion that we use somewhat interchangeably, and I think we need to recognize some differences. Those two words are empathy and compassion. We often believe that they're the same thing, but they're not. Empathy is different from compassion. Empathy says, I feel your pain. That's what empathy is. I feel your pain. I drive by an accident, a car accident, and I see an ambulance. I feel the pain. Empathy is an emotion. My heart bleeds for them. I feel bad for them, right? I feel their pain. Compassion is different. Compassion says, I will act to reduce pain. Compassion says that I will act to reduce your pain. Where empathy is a feeling, compassion is an action. I can have empathy for someone without having compassion for that person. Does that make sense? I can feel bad for them, but not do anything to help reduce their suffering or their pain. That's the difference between empathy and compassion. God is described in Psalm 103 not as empathetic, I feel your pain, though that's true. He's described as compassionate, I will do something to reduce that pain. When it says that God is compassionate and gracious, then it is followed by this in Psalm 103. He does not treat, that's a verb, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This idea that he does not repay, he does not treat us the way we ought to. He has removed our sin. His compassion is connected to the action. His character is compassionate, but then that compassion has action on our lives. And we are in a place where we can have relationship with the living God because he is a compassionate God. The question then becomes, that's Psalm 103, that's the Old Testament, that's good. Does that carry forward? Does Jesus value compassion? Does Jesus display compassion? I'm going to give you a couple examples where I think he does. We'll start in Matthew chapter 9, very end of Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 36. When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. What's the action that correlates to him looking at the crowd, seeing that they're harassed and helpless, and having compassion on them? You turn the page to chapter 10. The first thing Jesus does next, he sends his disciples out to the crowds. He sends them out to the people, and he has them heal those people emotionally, physically, spiritually. His compassion leads to him to send his disciples to the helpless and the harassed. His compassion connects directly to an action. Fast forward, Matthew chapter 15, verse 32 says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, a different crowd. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse along the way. Jesus tells the disciples, this crowd I have compassion on. What is the corresponding action? He feeds the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a couple of fish. You see, Jesus, when he has compassion, has a corresponding action to reduce the pain, in this case, hunger, to reduce the pain of those that he is having compassion upon. Compassion connects to action. Fast forward a couple chapters, Matthew chapter 20. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed them. 2 blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped. And he called to them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. Jesus had compassion. Notice too, I love the fact that he stopped. He interrupted his life, his day, to have compassion on those who had pain. And then he took an action to reduce that pain. So there's 3 examples, somewhat sequentially, of Jesus actually living out compassion. Did he teach about compassion or did he just do compassion? I would send you to Luke chapter 10. The middle section of Luke chapter 10 is a parable. A parable is just a story, just a fable, if you will. Jesus tells a story to make a point. In Luke chapter 10, this particular story is one of the most famous. It does not matter if you've ever been around the church. Almost everyone knows or has heard of the Good Samaritan. As Jesus tells this story, it begins with a man walking down a road to where he is attacked by bandits. He's put into a ditch and he is beaten and robbed and left for dead. Jesus then tells about 2 religious leaders, 2 Jewish leaders that walk down that same road. They see the man. It doesn't say it, but I think it's reasonable to assume they had empathy for the man. But they did not have compassion. They just kept walking along. Then a Samaritan man comes along. Now, that's significant, a Samaritan. But what is a Samaritan? We talk about Good Samaritan laws, being a good Samaritan. What is a Samaritan? In Jesus' day, a Samaritan is just another ethnic group in the region. It's a group of people. The Jewish people viewed them as lower class citizens. They had little to no respect for Samaritans. And it's ironic that Jesus decides that the Samaritan is going to be the one to show compassion on the man in the ditch. So the Samaritan sees the man in the ditch and he goes down into the muck to pull him out of the ditch, to bandage him, to give him his ride, to take him into Jerusalem, give him a place to stay, use his money to take care of this total stranger so that Jesus can teach the people what it's like to have compassion on another. So Psalm 103 speaks to God is compassionate, that he spills his compassion on us, that he gives us a crown of compassion that we might be compassionate to others. Jesus both lived out compassion and Jesus also taught us to be a compassionate people. But what about Paul? What about the last half of the New Testament where Paul wrote the majority of the text? Just a couple examples. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." It's like Paul is literally summarizing Psalm 103, is he not? The Father of compassion has had compassion on us that we might, so that we might have compassion on others. And I love the phrase, any trouble. Someone who is in any trouble, we can have compassion on. It doesn't just have to be what's comfortable for me or what I like or what I find interesting. It's anyone in trouble. No matter what that trouble, we can display God's compassion that others might know the true and living God. Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes again, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Clothe yourself. That feels like Psalm 103. The crown of love and compassion that we have, clothe yourself with compassion. If you're walking down the street and you see someone at afar, what's the first thing you notice? Their clothes. It's the first thing you see about someone that's in the distance. You might see they're wearing a bright red shirt or whatever it is. And that is how Paul describes believers in Jesus ought to look to an unbelieving world. As the unbelieving world walks down the proverbial streets and they see God's followers in the distance, what do they see? They see compassion. They see his people clothed in compassion. So hopefully we can see God's committed to compassion. He is compassionate. He spills his compassion upon us, and he has an expectation that we will clothe ourselves in compassion and pass our compassion that we have received onto those throughout the world. But knowing that and doing that are two different things. Like if American compassion levels have really dropped by 50% in the last 40 years, we're obviously not doing that very well. Is that a fair assessment? Like something's amiss. We may know that we ought to be compassionate. We may stand against the rhetoric of the fall or have learned our lesson from COVID. But at the end of the day, we're seeing trends that show less and less compassion toward our fellow Americans. So how do we do compassion? How do we actually do the thing that God has called us to do? Not to know. To know is empathy. I know someone's suffering. I can feel that. And that's a good thing, but when that's all that that is, we've missed an opportunity to show compassion by doing an action that could actually reduce the pain and suffering that someone is experiencing. So how do we do that? I think about almost anything in life where I looked at those texts from my coaching days and I'm like, man, I've got to take a hard look at my compassion levels for people. Because if it's that off in that environment, clearly it's off in other environments. And I know that anytime I want to make a change in my life, that two things have to happen at the same time. One is I have to do my part to initiate that change. And the other is that God has to meet me in that and he has to do his part. You see, it's not just my will. It's not just, I'm going to just be more compassionate that's going to get that done. I've got to do my part, absolutely. But God has to meet me in that. He's got to be a partner in that, that I might learn to be more compassionate again with his help and aid. It's a little bit like going to the gym. I want to go to the gym and get stronger, right? I've got to lift. I had to make an intentional decision to wake up in the morning, to get dressed, to get in my car, and to go to the gym. And then I got to make an intentional decision to work out and put the weights on the bars and do the job, right? That's my part of it. I've got to be intentional in that. So step one is, I think, how do we practically, actually try and become a people that is more compassionate, more and more compassionate? I think the first step is we have to make a conscious decision that I want to do that. I've got to make a conscious decision to say, I want to act in a way that reduces the pain and suffering of people in and around my life. I have to make that decision. And then I need to make a decision to go before God and say, God, I pray and I ask you to change my heart, to soften my heart to those that are in trouble, those that are in need. Soften my heart that I might be a man that is more compassionate than I am today. And I bring him into that, that I actually ask him to partner and engage in that with me. And I might also pray that, God, as you soften my heart, would you please create for me divine appointments? That's what I like to call them, divine appointments. You know that thing that happens that often we go, that was coincidence? I like to think that if I am praying, God, would you make me a more compassionate person? Would you soften my heart to those that are in need? That he would create a divine appointment where my openness and willingness to offer compassion to another would correspond with a moment where I come into contact with someone who needs compassion placed upon them. Can you, God, provide those moments that seem to be coincidental, that seem to be ironic, but can you provide those moments where my heart's desire to love people better corresponds with a moment and an opportunity to actually do it, that those moments would overlap? So the first step is, in my part, is that I have to raise up my desire. I have to actually have a desire to show compassion. And I have to pray that God would meet me in that he would meet me in that opportunity. And then the second step that is my responsibility is that I need to walk around with my eyes open. I can't walk around like this because I cannot see opportunities that exist where someone might be in need or in need of compassion. I need to walk around with eyes that are wide open, a heart that is softened to the troubles and the pains around me, that I would see those things, that I would see those opportunities, and then I would step into that opportunity. Now, when I talk about this change or I talk about taking a practical step, I'm not talking about something that's gonna change the world. It would be great if I could solve hunger. It would be great if I could take away disease. But that's not the compassion I have capacity to deal with. That's not realistic. But I can do very practical things. If you start, think about folks just in your circle. Friends, family, coworkers, neighbors. Just people just in your general vicinity. Just a couple of just simple examples of something that's not dramatic but could make a difference and reduce pain. If you know a parent, a new parent, single mom, single dad, if you see that person, is there an opportunity for you to reduce their pain? I mean, new parents are overwhelmed. They're exhausted, right? The simple thing to do is help with their kids for a minute. Take them to the park. Give them a date night. Whatever, right? A single mom, a single dad, they got to do it all. They got to be Uber. They got to be the chef. They got to be everything. You can just go to a single parent and just be like, I'm going to make you dinner. Would you like it on Thursday or Friday? Not even give them an option. Just step into it. You know the pain exists. Just step into it. Don't ask. People, when we ask each other, oh, is there anything I can do for you? What does everybody say? Oh, yeah, thanks, great. And nothing ever happens. You can't just ask. You have to just step into the muck. That's what the Samaritan did. He just got in the ditch. what can I do is not the question to ask. It's, I think I can do this. When can I do that? How can I do that? Let me do that. Just step into that. I was honored this week. There was a Journey small group. And a member of that small group has been in the hospital for like 6 weeks. It's been a long, tough road, surgeries, not good. Just been a really tough, tough time. The small group recognized the pain. And they just said, let's go visit. Let's go pray. Let's go encourage. And they invited me to join them. So we all met over there on Thursday night, and we spent 30 minutes, 45 minutes. We stopped what we were doing and just took a little bit of time to just offer encouragement and prayer for someone who's struggling. Like, it wasn't world-changing. Like, we didn't take away the deficit or do something dramatic, but we made a difference for just a moment to relieve pain just a little bit. Those are people in your circle. What about people outside your circle? What about strangers? There are just so many simple, tangible things that we can do with a stranger. How many times have you seen someone with a heavy load coming out of the grocery store? Can you help them get that stuff to their car? Can you take their cart back in for them? You know, just a little tiny thing. What about the person on the road that's in a hurry? I don't know about you. I am terribly cynical. Like, I see them and they're in a hurry, and I know it's their fault. They should have left earlier, obviously. But I've also been that person where I meant to leave earlier and stuff happened, and now I'm panicked because the thing's important and I gotta get there. Can we just offer a little compassion, let somebody in, a nice wave, a smile? Like, we know they got the pain. We don't have to, like, drive it home by whatever means necessary. What about the waitress at the restaurant? You can tell her countenance. You know she's had a rough day. I know people that pray before meals in restaurants, and they'll say to a waitress or a waiter in a situation where they're struggling and it's obvious, hey, is there anything I can pray for you for? We're going to pray for our meal anyway. We'd love to lift you up. Maybe engage in a short conversation. Just, again, just kind words, a kind action to just reduce pain just a little. Just a little. You can do other things. You can volunteer at the food bank. You can go to the homeless shelter. You can mentor kids through the school district or through nonprofit. There's so many ways that as individuals, we can just help alleviate pain in our midst just a little bit of a time. And that is what compassion is. Though I want you to be empathetic, though I want you to look out there and feel the pain of others, I think our calling as believers and as of the church is that we would actually be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we would act. That we would actually reduce pain in small, tangible ways. Think about this. This weekend, there'll be about 3,000 people that hear this, right? Whether they're online or in person. 3,000 people. What if each of those 3,000 people in the next week prayed, asked God to soften their heart toward those in need, opened their eyes as they walked around, found one small need, and just met it. Just something really small. Just something here local, something in the valley. Can you imagine what would happen if that happened next week? 3,000 acts of compassion happening in this valley. What if that happened every week all summer? 40,000 actions of compassion. I don't know about you. I am reasonably confident this would be a better place to live. I think you would see more smiles. You would have more friendly people. And this is an amazing place to live, but can you imagine 40,000 actions of compassion this summer, what that would do? Or maybe think about the opposite. Think about the 50%+ decline. Should we just keep letting it just go? Maybe it can drop another 10% in the next 10 years. Maybe the next time we have an election, we'll have more leaders speaking falsehood about compassion as weakness. We as believers need to stand in that space we stand for truth. We say no. Compassion is not weakness. Compassion is a characteristic of God. He has shown that compassion to me. And as a result of me feeling and understanding the compassion that he has had upon me, I will show compassion on another. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before you and we acknowledge that compassion is something that we may have allowed to slip in our culture, but most importantly, in our own lives. And Lord, we want to come with hands open and say, that's not right. We want to stand as the church, as individuals, and we want to show compassion to anyone in any trouble that you would bring into our path, Lord. We ask for divine appointments. We ask for moments where our eyes are open and you bring someone in need of love and compassion in our way, and we act. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.